This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup, just like a front three of Reece, Keane and Frochyar, right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Three more post-match debriefs to go. One of the greatest challenges to stay upbeat, I feel. But we'll give it a good go, won't we? How's things?
Yeah, one of the current challenges is to stay awake while watching Preston North End towards the end of the season. Which is a real shame because there was plenty to be optimistic about literally 2 weeks ago. And yet now it's all completely gone. But yeah, all's fine. I'm okay. The weather out there is a little bit grey, but other than that, there's nothing really to grumble at. I hope you're well too.
One last trip down to London, wasn't it? And we just hoped it could be a bit of a mood booster for everybody. And it was a lovely day down there. You're heading to QPR, who've struggled this season, obviously picked up massively under the new manager, who spoke wonderfully, by the way, afterwards. I'll come on to that. But yeah, wasn't to be, was it?
No, they're always great, their London away days. Always great days. We headed to Soho pre-game, went for a few beers in the Devonshire.
Was Notting Hill shut?
No, we just fancied a change. A change of tack. But yeah, we went to Soho, went for a few beers in the Devonshire. Albeit we did end up going to Notting Hill for one, because it's in that direction.
Mm.
They claim to have the best Guinness in London at the Devonshire.
Well, I saw your Instagram story of a glowing Isaac Richardson, as he always glows. And the glass looked pretty special.
Yeah, he's a gorgeous female. Female? He's a gorgeous male. So if he's not listed, he'll be fuming with that. No, he's a gorgeous, dashing male, his eyes. It was luscious locks. And that pint of Guinness looked tremendous in his hand. And it was good, the Guinness, to be fair.
How much?
It wasn't quite as good as the Guinness you get at Mulligan's in Manchester. Mm. It cost about £6.80, which in the grand scheme of things, the capital isn't too bad.
I'm pretty sure Mulligan's is above £7.
Yeah. Mm. And it is slightly better. Yeah. Relatively reasonably priced, I thought, when you consider London prices. So, yeah, we enjoyed it around there and then made steady headway to White City via Notting Hill.
I guess the only positive from the day, really, is that we're going to be going back to Loftus Road because we spoke highly of it ahead of the game. And it's always wonderful when you get inside and there's nowhere quite like it, is there?
No. It's a great amphitheatre for football. Mm. So close to the pitch.
It's like really a Lego stadium.
Yeah. It's great. And it's right in the middle of a housing estate, really. Great place to watch your team, I always find. And yeah, look, we got beat, but I suppose the saving grace is the fact that we can frequent
back. Yeah. What size club would you say they are, QPR? Would you say the same as us, smaller than us? They're an interesting one, aren't they?
Yeah, it's weird really, because I'm not entirely sure about this, but I don't think they were any great shakes before sort of like like the late to mid 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
They obviously got an influx of money, didn't they? Tony Fernandez bought them.
Yes.
And they had some great players, like some Adel Taarabt was there, and a few of the real good ones. And they had some great years in the Championship. They got promoted into the Premier League, where they held their own for quite a long time, and then obviously come back down. So it's hard to. But yeah, I reckon they're a similar, if not slightly smaller size club than us, but their recent success has happened recently, whereas ours happened quite a long time ago. But we find ourselves in the same division now, I suppose, don't we?
Yeah. Regardless of how much the game meant to them, when our team came out, I really fancied it on the day, with the midfield looking like a midfield again. Miller back in the team, Keane back in the team. Obviously, Ben Woodburn was the standout surprise name, or maybe not, because Ryan Lowe suggested he would start or at least feature. But you looked at the team and thought there's more than enough there to, even with everything on the line for them, more than enough to get the job done here.
Yeah, you'd like to think so. Woodburn was a real bizarre pick, really. Especially when you've got Mads on the bench, it just didn't feel right. It was bizarre. Now, I know Mads hasn't been quite the same influential player that we've come to expect in recent weeks. Maybe that's because of a little bit of fatigue. Maybe it's because, you know, a longer season in a different league than he's been used to. But surely he's got enough credit in the bank to start a game over Ben Woodburn. It was bizarre, especially when Woodburn was deemed unnecessary and surplus to requirements in the week at Southampton. That was a bizarre one. And then Leicester and Brown could only play 20 minutes in the week, yet they play 90 on Saturday or started the game. But yeah, like you said, we had enough there to beat a team who were flirting with relegation, albeit they've been on quite a good run with their new manager coming in and really sort of sparkling job, to be honest. But realistically, they weren't particularly great. We saw that over the course of 90 minutes. It was a game that Northam really ought to have expected to win. And they didn't. They never really looked like troubling them. Obviously, the goal's a moment of just, it's just a big blunder, but they happen over the course of a season. You get them. You know, it's not really one to dwell on. But all in all, this was a very sort of end of season vibe game. Very little quality in it. And North End did absolutely nothing to deserve getting anything out of it. But you're right, players that made it onto the pitch really ought to have probably got the job done against a more than mediocre Queen's Park Rangers.
I've mentioned this to you already, but Woodburn starting, there's only one explanation for it in my mind, and that is because Ryan Lowe's very invested in his players as people, isn't he? He reminds us of that quite a lot. He even said, going off on a tangent, he even said last week, if someone was out of contract and got injured, I'd probably give them a new contract because I wouldn't want to leave them stuck. So that's kind of an example. But then with Woodburn, I just thought the only reason here can be the game is on Sky. You've trained all season, barely had a kick, not had a start, not one league start. This isn't a very tough game compared to some. Go and have an hour and show people what you can do, who might be watching, that kind of thing. Shop window, basically. It's not rocket science, is it? But that's genuinely the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, well, one of his new favourite sort of sound bites is duty of care, isn't it?
Maybe lower it is,
Ben Woodburn to, you know, try and get him a move. Yeah, I mean, that's all well and good, but it's hard for a match-going supporter who's been to Southampton in the week, who then goes to London on the Saturday. He spent most likely about
150 quid
all in. And you're watching sort of a team that's not full strength just because he's got a duty of care to a certain mate of his. It's no real excuse. I get the rationale. And that will be the rationale, you'd think, because there's no other reason why he's not playing in the week and yet straining to play 90 minutes on Saturday. Just makes no real sense to me. Made no sense to anybody. If you were brave enough to stick your waders on and scroll Twitter after the game, it was an absolute mess, wasn't it? But just a bizarre decision. And I get the fact that he's a hard-working lad. You know, you could never level at him that he's not hard-working on the pitch. He's just not good enough at the level. Yeah, it's a tough one to stomach. considering you've been to Southampton and then to Queen's Park Rangers on the Saturday, and you've basically not tried as hard as you can to win the game because you've not picked your strongest 11. That's the most annoying thing.
Anyone annoyed would be well within the right, wouldn't they? Because Frocchiar and Holmes were on the bench. Ben, ultimately, it's not really our job or the club's job to be trying to help a player find his next club, is it? While we've still got points to play for and games to win. So anybody...
Let's be honest as well.
He wouldn't struggle anyway, would he?
We gave him a great opportunity to come to the Championship and try and sort of earn a living here and make a difference in the Championship. And he's done that over the last, 2 years? You know, he's got a decent wage, imagine playing Championship football. We've done our due diligence. We've done our duty of care to Ben Woodburn. I doubt he'll get a new contract. But then again, I doubt he'll struggle to get a move elsewhere because, you know, this guy's played for Wales, he's played for North End in the Championship over the last couple of years, he's played for Liverpool in the Premier League in the past. Like, the sort of pedigree's there to take a chance on him in League One or League Two. I don't think he'll struggle to get a move. You know, he's a willing runner. Fitness is never an issue, really. So, yeah, the whole sort of episode was bizarre. He's not the reason we lost the game, by the way. He's just a sort of motif of the actual afternoon.
He actually created the best chance of the match, which should have been 1-0 to us, shouldn't it?
Yeah, and that was a really nice move.
It was.
I was shocked he missed Miller.
He just looked like a man that was going to score.
Yeah, he just looked calm. He was in the middle of the net as well. The keeper did quite well to make himself big. He closed the angles down, made a decent stop in the end. Yeah, this was a great move. The only highlight of the day for me. And it really ought to have been capped off with a goal, which never quite happened. But what a chance. The only real bright spark of the afternoon in terms of a North End creativity standpoint. If that goes in, maybe the game is different. Because once QPR scored, they never really looked likely to score again. And maybe it would have been a completely different game. But as it happened, it didn't go in. But nice move. Miller, you could have expected to score, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't think they looked great. I don't think we did. But I thought Chair, who was obviously a controversial person to be playing football, given, you know, what's come out about him. But him and Willock looked two genuinely quality operators, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Chair was the highlight of the game, really. The real sort of quality on show on either side. And yeah, Willock's more than useful at this level as well. Their squad on the face of it isn't that bad, really. They shouldn't be working with relegation. They've got some quality players in there, and Chair is the highlight of those. I remember a few years ago when we got spanked at Loftus Road, Chair was the highlight that day as well. So he's a more than useful player. And he was the bright spark on the day, I thought, for both teams.
We were there in the second half, but there was never really the feeling we were going to score. They had bodies behind the ball. I guess it's that kind of environment that's tough when they sit deep and, like you said before, it feels very tight. There's no space for anyone. Frocchiar found a little bit of it, lofted a pass over towards Majic that could have maybe resulted in a goal, but it just reaffirmed to me that if we don't get Liam Miller back in the summer, we need to find someone who can provide a spark like that, because otherwise I think we're very easy to just sit back and kind of defend against. Because Steve Eyre made the point, didn't he? How could we not shout Steve Eyre again, by the way? But he made the point that Frocchiar likes playing with Miller. So if you don't bring someone in like that, you may be, you know, limiting Frocchiar's ability to influence games as well.
Yeah, it's no secret that North End are a much better team when you've got an opponent trying to come on to you who keep the ball, and North End can try and win the ball high up the pitch. Once they start to play against teams who like to sit in, like North End, to come on to them, they tend to struggle that little bit more. And obviously Miller is one of those sparks who's able to unlock defences, or like he did against Leeds, just provide that moment of clarity and real quality. And Matt is one of those players. It's worth noting, obviously, that North End didn't have Whiteman, who would have been a key orchestrator in the middle of the park at the end of the day. You know, Holmes obviously was introduced, but he didn't start the game, and he's another one that you'd look at and think he's the sort of player who could produce a moment. So, I think we'd all like to have Liam Miller back. He's one of them players who can skin past a player, quality when he cuts in, He can have a shot. He can cross. His cross has been quite good. He's provided a few goals from doing that chop onto his right foot into the box for a player to head home. So, yeah, look, he'd be, it's a real luxury to bring in on a permanent basis. I don't think there'd be any North End supporter annoyed to see Liam Miller sign on a permanent at the end of the season.
I actually don't think it's a disaster if we don't get him, because I think there'll be some, I think there'll be multiple players who bring that dribbling and directness. It's not the end of the world if we don't get him, but I'd definitely be looking for somebody, maybe even two, like that, because we're very kind of samey, aren't we, otherwise? I've kind of made that point already, but I just wouldn't be, even if we don't get him, it's not complete disaster. We've managed to replace good players who've signed on loan before, haven't we?
Yeah, I think we'd all like to see wingers playing high up the pitch, looking to take on a man, looking to get the ball into the box. It doesn't quite fit into what Ryan Lowe wants to do in terms of the way he wants to play, which has obviously been much criticised recently. And it, I suppose the episode with Steve Eyre heightened that criticism and the frustration. We heard a man who knows what he's talking about pretty much taking apart the way North End currently play.
It was very balanced, so, though, was Steve, I have to say. I thought he regularly checked himself and regularly offered praise, you know, as much as he could, really.
Well, he spoke about on many occasions that he admires the players and the manager. And how many points with a massive season. Like, he was incredibly balanced. He could have gone further in his criticism, you'd say. I thought it was more than fair.
Absolutely. I guess we're now at the point where you're thinking, what now kind of thing? And the likes of Miller and Brown feed into that. But 2.5, is that right? 2.5 years now for Ryan Lowe. Third full season will be next season. All being the same. So what, you are at that kind of point. Because I always remember when he came, he said, if after 3 or 4 years, we're not really going anywhere or it's time for someone else to have a go, no problem. You'd imagine that's still his kind of been his attitude throughout, even if it's been tougher than he first thought. But you definitely need to try and go that next step next year, don't you?
Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it? Because
you can't say he's doing bad, can you? Say he's doing a bad job.
He's doing a perfectly adequate job, almost a good job, you'd say. Now, there's a lot of people who wouldn't agree with that. And I can understand the frustration 100%. But it's a weird one with Lowe, because has his stock risen here?
And you sense he'll be wary of that, won't you?
Yes. And also, as an outsider, you'd probably say yes. Like, in the fact that he's doing a perfectly good job here, you'd say. Like, he got a lot of praise on Sky Sports, didn't he? After the Southampton game, or before the Southampton game. Was it Joby McEnough who was talking about how good a job he's doing? So, it's a bizarre one.
He's established himself as a championship manager, hasn't he? He's just not guided us to the playoffs or any real kind of success in that regard. But it's funny because you'd look at someone like Mussini, whose stock's maybe high now, but he's never managed a match in the championship. So I guess he might be thinking, am I becoming a little bit stale or kind of plateauing, is that the word? But it's not an easy league to come into and really thrive, is it?
Especially at North End. When you're towards the bottom of the budget table, for want of a better phrase, and you've not got the squad that say the top five or six teams have in this league, it's not easy to do really well at this level. He doesn't help himself at times. And the comments he made after QPR were interesting, I thought, when he spoke about moving that meeting back that you reported today, George. What does he mean by that?
It's an interesting one, isn't it?
Well, if you read the comments, he doesn't actually come out with anything of note. He said nothing. He said about...
I think it was an empty kind of threat. Is that nothing, the right word?
The comments he made, I reckon he used about 300 words and he said absolutely nothing other than the fact that he's moving a meeting back.
He might be moving a meeting.
He didn't even talk about that. He said he's not decided whether a meeting will take place yet. Who cares about a meeting? You thought meetings happen on a daily basis at Exton. Like, this isn't like the I don't get it. I don't get why he's trying to come, where he's trying to come from with that. I thought it'd just be off the course, really, that there'd be meetings going on looking ahead to next season. But I don't get why that needed to be brought out in the media. Bizarre.
I think he was, he got directly asked about this because he'd mentioned it last week that this is happening. And then I think the Radio Lanx guy asked him about it after QPR. And I'm guessing he's just seen it as a chance to portray his anger even further by saying, sack that. I'm not even thinking about that. I might not even do it. I'm that annoyed with this performance. Let's just sack everything off. I can't be arsed, kind of thing. So it wasn't quite the meltdown we saw at Sheffield United last season, but it wasn't far off. However, I don't think we weren't good, were we, at QPR, but it was just was it that different to 10 other performances this season? I don't think it was. I think it was just a bang average day at the office and you get beat 1-0, similar to Birmingham kind of thing.
Yeah. And he's got to take a little bit of responsibility for that as well. Like, it's not all the players. As we spoke about earlier, the team he picked was bizarre. We didn't really go after the game as much as we could have done either. So, yeah. I get why he'd be annoyed after losing 1-0 at QPR, but...
Not to the point of sacking important meetings about contracts and future and recruitment off.
And the wider context is important as well. You've not got a great deal to play for. You've got a team up against you who are playing for something, who need to win. And he might be a little bit annoyed that it sort of had the vibe of an end-of-season game. Ultimately, it's your job to motivate those players to go out there and perform and get the win when the points aren't absolutely essential.
And yeah.
He doesn't take enough credit. He doesn't take enough flack at times for poor performances. And
yeah.
That's where the frustration will come from as a fan base when you see your manager time and time again sticking it all on the players. And obviously the players ought to take some stick. Like, that was on the players at the weekend probably. But there's still flaws in the manager that you see and you think that you ought to be taking more flack for.
I mean, the quote, I'm always really careful of tweeting quotes as standalone like things without an article because anything can be, you could take anything from anything and shape a narrative or clip something. Yeah. But I think the quote I tweeted was kind of encapsulated his whole kind of post-match assessment. So it's gone absolutely mad, hasn't it? That was a Preston North End team of old. The reason I was brought to the club, I didn't like any of it. You know, people have got stuck into that, saying, obviously, 2.5 years here now, we shouldn't really be coming out with stuff like that. But it's not the first,
it won't be
the last comment that's caused a bit of fume or got a bit of attention, is it?
To be fair, I sort of understand where it's coming from with that quote. And you would, as the manager, basically what it means is that wasn't my team out there. Like, he didn't watch that team that played at the weekend and think that's my team. That's what he means. His wording's not particularly great. But I get where he's coming from with that quote. It wouldn't be one that would keep me up at night, really. In the moment, after a game, emotions are high. And he's come out with it. I understood what he meant. Especially when, I've not got the stats at hand, but I reckon North End's record away from home under him isn't that bad.
It was good last season, wasn't it?
So obviously, the amount of times that I've gone to QPR and thought we won't get anything and haven't got anything. Well, not just QPR, but sort of those sort of away games where you thought, we won't really get anything today. Like, that is the North End of old. And that's the way it went on Saturday. Example, like under Grayson, you probably go to QPR and think, now, I know QPR were better when we had Grayson. But like, it'd be one of them games where you just thought, we'll probably get beat today.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with Mac Delivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. Participating restaurants 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
I guess the motivation at this point, you could talk about it as much as you want. I don't want it to fizzle out, but you're rarely going to match a team that's trying to stay in a league, are you? Maybe 9 times out of 10, going to run a bit harder, tackle a bit harder. There's more on the line, isn't there, ultimately. That's not an excuse, but I reckon if there was any way of producing a graph of results for teams that whose seasons are done.
Yeah, and that'd be the case on Monday night as well against Leicester, because they're going for the league title, they're going for automatic promotion. They've got better players than us.
It's not the ideal next game, is it?
It's not. On a Monday night, they'll be bang up for it. You know, they'll look at us, they'll see that we've lost our last three games, and they'll be thinking, we'll get stuck into these, we'll do a job on these. Like, they're on the beach. You couldn't really argue with it. It's going to be a really tough game. They've got a whole heap of quality. We saw that at their place. But also, we saw at their place that they're there to be got at as well. Like, we can make chances against them. They're not unbeatable by any stretch. So a little bit of a wobble. I know they beat West Brom on Saturday to sort of get back on the straight and narrow. But this is going to be a tough game. It's not the game Ryan Lowe will want, that's for sure. So, yeah, it's going to be a tricky game. Look, North End needs to be on it, don't they? You know, we don't want it to end on a damp squib like it has over the last however many years. And also, obviously, you've got players like Brown in there who haven't tied down. Maybe in the back of Alan Brown's head, is he not wanting to get injured as well? Hopefully not, but you never know really, do you?
Well, there was a meeting planned with him this week, but maybe that's been jettisoned as well. I'll have to see.
he spoke about, didn't he, about a duty of care again to these players out of contract. But I'm not sure you do have a duty of care to these players out of contract. Like, if you want them to play, they play and end off. Like, when we're coming to the end of a season, if they don't want to play, then that's all right, but they're out of the squad completely. Like, they're here to do a job, they're paid, and they play. And they run as hard as they can, surely. I don't understand this duty of care to players out of contract. At the moment, they're contracted to Preston North End, and they'll do their best with Preston North End, simple as that. So until otherwise.
Yeah, they've not got 20 quid in the bank account, these guys, have they? They'll be all right, regardless.
Realistically, if Alan Brown gets injured, it'll force his hand, because you'd imagine North End out of loyalty would offer him a new deal anyway, and he'd be staying. I don't know, maybe North End would be ruthless and get rid of him.
Maybe Leicester and West Brom was being seen in Ryan Lowe's comments after the game, because he's now staring down the barrel of 5 straight defeats to finish the season, which is a terrible, terrible way to finish any season. That is really poor. You've then got to sell season tickets, got to get people, you know, people might forget about it, but yeah, that is not an ideal way for any club to go into the summer, and they're going to have to play extremely well to avoid that happening.
Yeah, especially when a few games ago you're in the playoff mix, like you're riding the mixer, and you've got not a decent chance, but you've got a chance of getting in the playoffs. And like, to end with 5 straight defeats would be a real kick in the teeth. Hopefully that's not the way it plays out, but it is the likely option. Leicester will be favourites on Monday night, and West Brom will be favourites against us next week as well. So that is the most likely option. He'll be annoyed as well that it's likely that we'll end on the same amount of points.
100%.
Because he'd have loved nothing more to go after QPR and say, look, we've already amassed more points than we did last season. How many more points can we amass over the last couple of games? But it looks likely that we'll end on the 63 points that we ended on last year, which is a poor return when you consider that after 41 games, we were also on 63 points. So, look, obviously we'll all be there on Monday night cheering them on and hoping that he can get more points on the board. But that'll be Ryan Lowe's frustration. And not just Ryan Lowe's frustration, everyone connected with North End, because like, it looked like we were going to have a really good season points-wise. Now it just looks like we're going to have a okay season.
Yeah, it doesn't do the progress chat much help, does it, if you finish on the same points? Because it does like to bring up things like that at different times, or we did this last year, but we're on this now. So that doesn't do it any favours. I'm guessing West Brom, if they're in the playoffs and they can only finish 5th on the final day, maybe they'll field a changed team, be a little bit wary, saving themselves for the playoffs, and you might be able to have a good go at them. But I mean, they're a very good side with a top manager, aren't they? So that'll be difficult. The progress thing, I don't think it's a stick to beat him with too much, because it's good that your manager wants to progress and improve, but people will have doubts whether that's more him doing better kind of thing.
Yeah, and also, we'd have all have taken this at the start of the season, like with that muggled summer, the business only getting done late in the window. There were genuine worries that we were going to be in a relegation scrap this season. We'd have all have taken this now, not care what anyone says. And there has been progression. I'm not sure players have improved under him, but the squad's improved for sure. And we'd all reflect on the summer transfer window as a good one. Hopefully we can back that up with another one this coming summer as well and go into the new campaign stronger than this season and give next season a good go. I don't think this season has been a bad season by any stretch of the imagination. So obviously at the end has been a disappointing one. Now we started the season well, so then had that real bad slump and came good again, only to go bad again. But that's the ups and downs of a football fan.
I guess the argument might be that the backing he's had in the transfer window in terms of buying Frochyar, buying Osmaic. We've always said they'd need time to settle, but he did get some decent players brought in for him, didn't he, in the summer. I guess it was a tough championship this year. I remember everyone saying at the start of the season, oh, bloody hell, that looks difficult.
Yeah. I agree. I get the frustrations, where they'll come from. And the worst part about it is that he doesn't help himself a lot of the time.
I was going to say, I think you can be fair and say he's not doing a bad job, this guy, but there's a lot of people who don't like the guy, isn't there?
He just rubs people the wrong way with that sort of soundbitey stuff he comes out with. On the face of it, he's done a perfectly decent enough job. And ideally, you'd like to see progression year on year. And I think we have done, not necessarily in the way we play, but the squad for sure. You know, it's coming to the end. It's in a bit of a damp squib. But there have been highlights this season that we've spoken about previous episodes that we can reflect pretty fondly on. So let's all get down to detail and cheer them on Monday and really back them to the hilt.
Long summer, as you said last episode, isn't it?
Exactly.
I'm going to test your knowledge of a 2009 cup tie between Preston and Leicester at Deepdale.
Was this early on in the season?
It was, yeah. Oh my God, it says the attendance was 6,977.
Yeah.
Surely not.
I'm pretty sure that I was one of that, one of the 6,000.
Mm.
So they got promoted the year before this. I'm trying to think.
What, from League One?
Yeah, from League One, I think.
I'm not too sure.
I'm not sure. But I seem to recall them wearing golden badge on the sleeve, you know, like the championship badge.
It was a cup tie, though.
I can't remember the scoreline either.
Okay. It was a 2-1 win.
Yeah.
Chris Brown scored a brace. Bringing anything back?
Not especially. I'm pretty sure I was there, though. I don't remember the game, but I remember being there.
You were there with 6,976 other people. One of Shumilikovsky's better results at the football club. Started the game, did the Macedonian.
The Macedonian Gerard, as they said. Good times. 2009 playoff campaign. Or was it?
Yeah. This was 09-10. Yeah, yeah, this was the year after. Galli and the Leicester side. Oh, wow. Galli.
Cranky.
Utter class.
Yeah, just had sparkles in those boots to Galli. Great player. Loved him. Good looking fella as well.
You think?
Yes, I do. Do you not?
Yeah, he's very very prim and proper, isn't he? Can imagine him shopping at, like, Reese, places like that.
Zara.
Oh, yeah. Just raiding Zara shelves. Absolutely.
Zara and Arn. That new brand.
Arnie. Yeah.
Arnie.
I think Lowy's got a bit of Arnie gear, to be fair.
Yeah, that's not a shot.
Zara's the best shout with Gallagher. He'll absolutely love it.
100%.
I bet Coventry fans... Well, we discussed this, didn't we? Would you be gutted? Or would you think, wow, I saw my team come back from 3-0 down against Man United at Wembley in an FA Cup semi?
Yeah, I reckon they'll reflect on the day with an immense amount of fondness, whether you're really young, whether you're really old. I think it would have been one of the great days to be a Coventry fan. Remarkable comeback. Incredible comeback.
Yeah.
In the moment, you'd be utterly inconsolable. But I think this morning, and as the week progresses, like they held themselves in great stead, covered themselves in glory. I mean, United supporters and players were almost embarrassed to win. Like they won the cup tie. They got to an FA Cup final, but surely it's never felt worse to be in an FA Cup final. They continue to be an absolute laughingstock. It's mental. But kudos to Coventry. They gave it an absolutely unbelievable effort.
They were outstanding. I think I was a Coventry fan for about 40 minutes yesterday. Just the stuff you dream of, innit? And they would have won it had it been 2 or 3 years prior.
Yeah. It's annoying because I've longed to try to bang the drum that we can go on a cup run. We can definitely go on a cup run. It's there for us. We can do it. Like, you look at examples relatively recently, yesterday being one. You've got examples of Bradford getting to a League Cup final. You've got examples of Barnsley making it to the FA Cup semi-final. You know, Hull, I know they're in the Premier League, but they made it to the Cup final. Come on. Let's just do it 1 year, please, in my lifetime. A cup run. Like, ultimately, all you're doing is resting players to play dead rubber games at QPR, at home to Leicester and away at West Brom. Let's go on a cup run, please. Once in my life. Just give me what we all want, surely. An FA Cup final. I'm not awesome about promotion. You can have your year in the Premier League. I'm not bothered about that. I don't need that. I don't want that. I just want that warm, fuzzy cup run. That would make me a very happy man.
We said we'll be going back to Loftus Road next year. Will we be going back to Ewood Park? Who knows?
Oh, my.
Coventry and Leicester to come for John Eustace's side. 49 points. Will it be enough? They'll probably go and win at Leicester on the final day. Smodics will probably score 5, but you'd be bloody worried now, wouldn't you? Look at the bottom of that table.
What a mental time you've had as a Blackburn fan this year. You've got the league top goal scorer who literally can't stop scoring. But you've also got your team in a relegation dogfight. You've just spanked Sunderland and you go to Leeds and win against all odds. But then, like, they're producing comedy moments at home to Sheffield Wednesday in a must-win game or a must-not-lose game. Like, Ainsley Pears yesterday couldn't have had a worse game if he tried. Incredible. How on earth he managed to score that own goal was fantastic. He would never, ever be able to do that again if he tried. Fantastic. Tell you what, though, kudos to the Owls. 7,000 away fans is a great effort, albeit this is a big club and a massive game. But, yeah, it's a great away on that Darwin end. And seemingly, every time it gets packed, the away team wins. Maybe they should start just allocating about 100 away fans, Blackburn. Because they get spanked every time that gets filled, that Darwin end.
Yeah, remarkable at the bottom of the table. And the fact is, it'd be more enthralling to be involved in something. But I guess when you see how worried them clubs will be, maybe you just take being 10th and having your season done with 3 to go. Because, my word, they must be absolutely terrified what's going to happen.
Yeah, they won't be sleeping. They'll be feeling sick. I get the point in the fact that in a relegation fight because of the jubilation if you manage to survive. But I'm of the opinion that obviously I'm just more than happy with us being 10th in the league wherever we are now and safe. We've nothing to play for. Rather that than a relegation dogfight where you're not sleeping and you're not eating and you're snapping at your family members because you're that worried.
We'll catch up after Leicester at home next week. I'd say the odds of us discussing 3 points are extremely slim, but who knows? You just never know, do you? Especially with Preston. Let's just see what they can do under those lights. On Sky for the third time in a row.
I know, I just think there's people out there, including me, who pay a Sky subscription to be subjected to watching Preston North End not once, not twice, but thrice in the space of about 10 days. So kudos to those people who don't support North End but have watched all 3 of those games. Yeah. Tough game, not expecting to get much out of it, but, you know, North End at home under those bright white lights, you never know. Mm-hmm. And really, it doesn't mean a great deal. I won't get too low if we lose, I won't get too high if we win. It's my last game of the season, because obviously I'll be playing cricket on the 4th of May when North End contest their final game against West Brom. Maybe even Alan Brown's final game in a North End shirt, who knows?
Wow, that is the big question. This is overwhelmingly negative to ask, but I've just wondered. I wonder if a team has ever been on Sky three games in a row, lost them all, and not scored in any of them. Who I don't know if there'd be a way of finding that out.
I bet Everton have done that.
Yeah, I bet they have. I bet Everton have done that.
Yeah, they're the sort of club we've done that. But no, this has been a particularly horrendous week to choose on impressive North End games on, depending on who you support, obviously.
Yeah, they must have thought we'd be absolutely storming our way into the playoff positions, but it's not quite happened.
Yeah, they must have thought we'd be ending the season with a wet sail that currently looks now like it's capsized.
Anything on for you this week to tease the listeners that we'll discuss next time we jump on Zoom, or is it a quiet one?
Yeah, it's the last game of the cricket. Sorry, last game. It's the first game of the cricket season this coming Saturday.
Wow.
So I'll be able to discuss my travails, how that goes.
Blackdog Media will be tuning in, delighted with that.
Yeah, he likes to tweet on a weekly basis about the cricket shite discussed on this podcast. Well, next week, Black Dog, you can look forward to it, pal. We'll give you a cricket bark next week. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm obviously leading the third 11 this season at Penwitham, so I'm looking forward to getting stuck into the season. You tend to get to this time of year with the football season where you're ready for the cricket season. And obviously towards the end of the cricket season, you're ready to get back into the football season. And now I'm ready to stop wearing a North End. Get those whites back on. Start turning my arm over once more.
Bring it on. Pleasure, as always. This podcast was produced by Viva. It's the 90th minute and P&E are on the TV. You're watching with all your mates and the McNugget share boxes are open for all. Your pal's already been booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Result. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? At participating restaurants 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com on the McDonald's app.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.